I love that video. That just makes me smile. And that little girl, I think she probably believes what she's singing. And ain't nothing going to steal her joy. And I thought it was interesting how I think about church. And you can look out. I mean, I can look out this morning and I'm looking for that little girl. And I'm wondering, is she here today? But there's a lot of folks in churches all over the country right now this morning that are more like the rest of the choir. Did you notice the contrast between the little girl who was joyful and clearly singing about the Lord and the rest of them who were, you know, typical children, kind of afraid? But I love the idea of having that kind of joy in my life from the Lord. An old church choir singing in my soul. And that's what that song's about. And this idea of joy in the Lord flows out of what? Like everything, it flows out of His love. But the conduit of that joy is God's goodness. We talk about God being good all the time, and I know that we've heard this before. Trish and I was sharing this morning. We've been in and out of prison almost 40 times, right? And when we'd hold a big assembly and a whole mass of prisoners, you know, inmates or whatever you want to call them, citizens, out there in front of us, and there was always a remnant of Christians in there, and somebody over on this side of the room would just shout out, "God is good." And on the other side of the room, what would they shout? "All the time." And then they would repeat, "All the time." And then this group over here from the other side of the room, "God is good." And so this concept of God being good is important to us as Christians. We know that everything God does is right, and everything that God does is good. We know that. But sometimes we look around us and it's a little hard to grasp the idea of God's goodness, even though we proclaim it to be true. We look around us and sometimes we wonder because of all the things going on around us. We're going to clear some of that up this morning, that God is truly good. And He's good all the time. Well, the Bible is very clear about God's goodness. Dozens of times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, Scripture declares that God is good and that what He does is good and that who He is good. It's all bound up together in His love and His mercy and His grace, and it's all manifested through His goodness. And His goodness is a conduit of His love. We're going to explore that this morning. I'm going to read a few verses here, and we're going to use these texts, so you might want to turn your Bible. Hopefully you're already at Psalm 31:19. And if you have a pen, you might mark down, or you could go ahead and start looking. We're going to also be reading from Psalm 145. And we're going to look at James 1. And we're going to look at Romans 8. So put your fingers there. I'll mention those again in a minute and give you a chance to turn there when we explore those particular passages. But the first one that I've read already this morning, Psalm 31:19, it says this: "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of His mankind, of the children of mankind." Well, let's just look at that verse for a minute. This verse talks about God's goodness being abundant. What is abundant? Abundant means it's sufficient. It's more than enough. God's goodness is more than enough. There's no shortage of God's goodness for us. We don't have to worry about Him rationing it. We don't have to worry about us earning it. All we need to know is that God is good and He wants us to partake of that goodness. Now, when I talk about goodness in abundance, I can't help but think about us needing to put it into perspective. What is this abundant goodness? Because when we use the term good these days, we don't always use it that way. When we say something's good, rather than using the biblical definition of good, we use a definition of good that comes from our experience and our vernacular and our vocabulary and our language. And so when we say something's good, we're usually talking about a quality of something that does what? gives us pleasure, gives us some entertainment. That's something good. Can you think of some things that we would call good in this context? I immediately think of food. And many of you are nodding. Yeah, good food. We often use good in reference to food because food is nourishing and sometimes healthy and sometimes delicious and always pleasurable. And that's our concept of good, pleasurable. Another time we might think of good is if we think about a good movie or a good television show. We give it the attribute of good because it's entertaining. It gives us an escape. It allows us to sit back and relax, and that's a good thing. So when we think about good, we think of some good food that's tasty and enjoyable. We think of something that's entertaining. We might think about a good game or a good party or a good vacation. Things like that give us some sort of fulfillment, right? In our body or in our emotions. But good is a subjective concept when we take it outside of the Bible. You see, let's say Houston says, "I love buttermilk," don't you? You love buttermilk, right? He doesn't know. He's never had buttermilk. But somebody here might say, "I love buttermilk. It's good." I would disagree. There's not one thing good about buttermilk. Some of you might say, "The Cowboys won that game, and that's good." Wouldn't you say, "The Cowboys won, that's good"? Well, but an Eagles fan might disagree with you. They might not consider it good because we're using that idea of good as a concept that gives us pleasure or entertainment. We also use the word good when we're talking about something that's fulfilling or something that we perceive enhances or furthers our goal or our finances or our prestige or our power. For example, a promotion. "Oh, it's good. It's good that John got that promotion the other day. That's good. I got a raise the other day. That's so good." Well, in that sense, it is good. But while you got a promotion, somebody else didn't. And they might say, "Well, it's not so good because you got the promotion that I didn't get." So you see how subjective it is when we use the term good and we bandy it around as a positive, but right next to us is somebody who doesn't see it that way. That's not the biblical concept of good. Do you understand that? And then while we're talking about the concept of good, I have to bring up this idea that all around us are a lot of bad, right? A lot of bad going on around us. How do we mitigate all this bad that's going around us with the goodness of God? Well, as we go forward, I want us to anchor in one thing. This badness that's going on around us is not from God. This badness, all the bad things that are going on in your life and in mine and around the world and in our communities and in our families, all that badness is an outflow of a sinful, lost world. See, God didn't design it that way. If we had followed God from the very beginning, all these things would be good. Not a subjective good, but an absolute good. But sin broke our relationship with God. And so in that respect, we're surrounded with what we would call badness, aren't we? But you know what? All this badness does not one bit diminish or alter or change the goodness of God. Let's go back to our verse, Psalm 31. Psalm 31 mentions His goodness is abundant. And as I said, that means it's plentiful. There's enough. There's more than enough. And abundance means more than probably you could ever take advantage of, more than you would ever need. That's how good God is. God's promise of goodness is overflowing and overfilling once we realize what His goodness is about. The other thing that psalm says is God's goodness is stored up. You ever think about God storing stuff up? We've heard verses about He stored up treasures in heaven for us, right? Well, this idea of Him storing up goodness means it's there for us to be blessed by, and it hasn't been used up yet, and it was prepared from the foundation of the world. Before you and I existed, God prepared good for you and me, and it's stored up in His warehouse, in His storehouse of goodness, just waiting to bless us, waiting to fulfill us, waiting us to prepare us, waiting to grow us. It also uses the idea that this good worked. See, God is working it. It's not a passive thing. God doesn't just say, oh, y'all just get along and everything will be fine. God's goodness is active in our lives. It's active in your life. It's active in my life. It's even active in this evil world. Because you see, God is working through His goodness to restrain the evil in the world. You ever think about that? What restrains the evil? We have shootings. Why don't we have a shooting every day? Is it because somebody doesn't think I want to go kill somebody today? No, they think that every day. Every day there's people thinking, I'm going to go kill somebody today. But God's goodness provides some means or some mechanism for restraining evil until Christ comes back and takes His church. We read about it in Revelation, how once that restraint is lifted, God's goodness is removed from the earth, its influence on the earth, and we have 7 years of horrible tribulation where God's wrath is poured out. So God is working through His goodness to restrain evil. Now we would wish, why don't you just wipe out all evil, God? Because He gives us our way. He gives us what we want. And our sin drives us. Turn now, if you would, to Psalm 145. I hope you've already gotten there. We're going to look at verse 9. Psalm 45, verse 9. 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. It's over all that He has made. Psalm 145, 9. It's interesting to look at these old psalms because they have so much meaning in them that sometimes we just read through them and overlook what it's really trying to tell us. You see, here it says, it uses the word all. God's goodness is available to all, but many reject it. See, God's goodness is available to everyone. Everyone who was born and took a breath on earth from beginning of time till now, after Adam and Eve sinned, He still offers goodness to those who will receive it. But if we look around today, it's not hard to find somebody who rejects the goodness of God. And His mercy is over all His creation. In other words, even the earth is blessed by His goodness. You see, the earth is dying, not because of climate change, not because there are too many people, not because we're burning too much gas, not because we're burning rainforest. That's not why the earth is dying. The earth is dying because of our sin. It's got the same disease that all the rest of us have. Yet God offers His mercy even to His creation, restraining it from destruction until His proper time. You see, God has a plan. And He doesn't let us in on all of it. He lets us in on that part we need to know. And we need to understand that when people say, like I read the other day, if we don't do something about climate change, we only have 7 years left. Do you believe that? That's crazy. You think God's going to let man interrupt His plan? Now, if Jesus could come back today, and then all this could be true. But the fact is, God's goodness is restraining the earth's decay until His time is perfect. Going on to James 1, verse 7. Flip over to there if you haven't already. And this is really amazing. James 1, verse 17. Excuse me, I keep saying the wrong verse. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift. Now, it uses the word good gift and perfect gift in this verse, and they're two different things. This every good gift is the act of giving. The act of giving is God's choice. God chooses to give us good things. Now, I'm going to explain this more fully in a minute. So you might be thinking, well, Jody, what does that mean when he says God's going to give us good things? Does that mean that the fact that I got a raise, did that come from God? Yes. The fact that I got laid off, did that come from God? Yeah, maybe. So don't think of good things as this human thing that we think of as something I can eat, something I can enjoy, something that furthers my cause. When we say God gives every good gift, it's a gift according to His purpose that we're going to read about in a minute. He is actively giving good gifts. And then the other part of the verse says perfect gifts. A perfect gift is the actual gift itself. And a perfect gift is what? Perfect. When we say something's perfect, what do we mean? We mean it perfectly fulfills its purpose. A perfect song fulfills its purpose in stirring our emotions. A perfect video, like we just saw. Not a professionally done video, but that video's perfect to me. It stirs that joy in my heart. It makes me want to be like that little girl. That's a perfect gift. It fulfills its purpose, and it's applied perfectly. Now, when I was growing up, if I burned my hand, anybody know what Mama would put on it? Crisco. Or lard. You know what that did? Nothing. Nothing. It kept it from drying out. Maybe it protected it from germs, but it didn't help it healing. And it didn't even feel right, did it? How many of you had that experience? Mama pulls out the lard or the Crisco or the butter. Yeah, not medicine. Well, that wasn't a perfect gift because it didn't accomplish its purpose and it wasn't appropriate for that eventuality. But God's gifts are perfect. Moving us toward His goal in our lives, moving us toward His purpose, all of His good gifts that He continuously gives to us are perfect in that those gifts will meet and accomplish their goal, what they were meant for in God's economy. So He gives every good gift, and every good gift that He gives us is perfect. And then it goes on to talk about there's no variation, no shadow of turning. What could that mean? Does that mean that God wakes up one day and says, you know, today I just don't really feel in a giving mood? You ever felt that way? Yeah, you have. If you're like me, I bet you have. You ever feel like and go, today's all about me. Today's all about me. I'm not going to get up and make my wife a cup of coffee. Let her get up and make me a cup of coffee. See, that's changing. That's variation. That's turning. But with God, there's no variation. God is what? He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will never change. Now, this idea of variation is a very subtle term. A variation can be very minute. Let's say that I show up next Sunday and my hair is just a little bit less gray. I've added a little bit of highlights to it. Not a stark, I didn't burn it red or pink, but I just changed it a little. That tiny bit, almost imperceptible change is called a variation. And that's actually a scientific term that means some little small part of a formula has changed. It's like saying 3 plus 3 is 6. Well, now I want to say 3 plus 4 is 7. I just changed it a little bit. But when you add a variation into anything, the outcome is different. With God, there's no variation. There's no variation in the good gift, the perfect gift, and there's no variation in the outcome. And no shadow of turning. Well, what does this phrase mean? Shadow of turning. That means not even a hint. Have you ever seen a shadow? Have you ever, you know, been sitting outside in the cool of the morning or maybe later in the day when it's not so cool these days? And you're sitting out and you're watching the shadow and you sit down at X o'clock and you're in the complete shade. And in a few minutes, You're in full bright sun. How did that happen? Well, there's a shadow of turning. That shadow is moving almost imperceptibly. And if you don't pay attention, you won't even notice it until you're in the full sun. This idea of no shadow of turning with God means He doesn't even turn a little bit. Not the nth of a degree, not one millimeter, one thousandth of a millimeter, not one bit does God change. Now, why doesn't God change? Because it's His character. God's character doesn't change. God's character is goodness flowing out of His love and His mercy. And James knew this, and James recorded this through the Holy Spirit. Every good gift is from God. Every perfect gift. And God doesn't change. What are some of those gifts that we could think of? If we think about the passage in James, and it's not money, and it's not food, and it's not some other earthly thing, what is it? Well, we could go through Scripture and find these gifts, and I've done that, so you don't have to. But here's some lists of God's good gifts and perfect gifts. Jesus Christ. He didn't have to give us that gift. He could have said, you messed it up in the garden. Good luck with that. But His purpose was higher than that, and He gave us the gift of Jesus Christ to solve that problem of sin. Another gift was the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus Christ left this earth and took the right hand of Jesus, or right hand of God, and He said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you a guide. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, I preach my gospel to you. I want you to put your faith in me as your Savior, and now do the best you can. He didn't do that. His gift of the Holy Spirit guides us through this life on earth, even in the face of all the troubles we have. He gave us the gift of the kingdom that is here now and the kingdom that will come. He gave us the gift of salvation. In other words, He saved us from death, something we couldn't do ourselves. That's goodness of God. Through the cross is the goodness of God, a perfect emblem, a perfect symbol of God's goodness. He gives us eternal life, which we could never earn. He gives us peace, which we all yearn for. Now, I know it's not a peaceful life we all live, but at the bedrock of it, at the foundation of it, there's a level you can't go below, and you're in Christ, you're going to hit that peace level, and you can't get lower than that because it's solid. His peace is real. And He gives us wisdom. These are all good gifts. They're all perfect gifts that God has given us. And now we're going to get to the purpose of His good gifts. Go ahead and turn to Romans 8:28. Hopefully you're already near there. Many of you could recite this verse. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now this is an interesting verse to me because I've heard it over and over. All my Christian life I've heard it. And I've misunderstood it so many times when people say, well, I'm so sorry that you suffered that tragedy in your life, but you know, all things work for good. I don't want to hear that. I've just suffered a loss. I've just suffered a tragedy. Don't tell me that that's something good in my life. But that's not what the verse says. We have to put this in context. Way back up in verse 18, if you wanted to glance up there, in verse 18, Paul is talking to the Romans who are undergoing horrible persecution. And he uses this phrase, during this time of suffering. During this time of suffering. When is your time of suffering? When is your time of suffering? Mine is when I could kind of say my first words and begin to make up my own mind about stuff and hit my brother and take my sister's toys. My time of suffering began. Then when I came to Christ, it didn't end. My suffering still continues in this world. As we proclaim Jesus, we're going to suffer. As we live for Him, we're going to suffer. And that's what Paul is talking to the Roman church about. They were undergoing tremendous persecution. And he gives them this wisdom. He says, in this time of suffering, remember this. In this time of suffering, remember this. All things work together for good. for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You see, we always like to think of good things as stuff that, as I said, taste good, feel good, look good, entertain us, further our cause, but that's not what God's goodness is about. Does He do that sometimes? Absolutely. Who gave us pecan pie? If that didn't come from heaven, then I don't know what did. Absolutely, things that are in that category of good come from God. And those things that are in a category of bad come from our sin nature. But what God is saying here, what? Let's clear up that mystery. Look down a little bit further to verse 29. What does it say about verse 29 and His purpose? To be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That's the purpose of God's goodness in us. He wants to conform us to the likeness of His Son. So when we think of God's goodness and we think of, well, that wasn't so good that I went through that tragedy. It wasn't so good that I went through that hardship. Paul says, even when you're suffering, even in times of trouble, remember this. All that stuff works together for the good of conforming you to Christ. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose to conform you to Christ, that's what God's goodness is all about. So the next time somebody says, how can you say God is good? Just look around us. This world is a mess. You can say, well, I can tell you how God is good because I'm a mess too. And guess what? God saved me. You're a mess too. And guess what? God can save you. That's a good God. If He wasn't a good God, He would just say, I'm through. I'm finished with this earth. I'm done. But a good God says, no, I prepared a way. I've given you a way. I've given you good gifts, perfect gifts to accomplish my purpose in you. So when we think about this verse, and it's often misquoted, I know it. I've probably done it myself. But these good things that work, these things that work together for good are to accomplish God's purpose, not my purpose. And I don't know about you, but when I think about God's goodness as we leave this morning, I have to tell you, God's got a better plan. God's got a better plan for you and me. If it was up to me, I would go a whole different way, and it would turn out a whole lot differently and not well. But if I can put myself on His altar and say, God, use me. Confront me with my sin. Make me upset about it. Make me contrite in my heart about it. Let me ask Your forgiveness. Let me repent. And let me turn to You out of my sin and receive that goodness that You have in store for me to accomplish Your purpose, which is to make me look more and more like Jesus, minute by minute, day by day. One day we'll get there. One day we'll get there because His purpose is perfect. Everything God does is right. And everything God does is good. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your goodness, the just outflow of Your heart into ours. Thank You, God, that You give us good things that we can enjoy and we can participate in and we can enjoy in our flesh. But even more than that, God, we thank You for Your perfection and Your goodness that brings us into conformance with You. Carve off of those things from us that doesn't look like You and just break away those pieces of rock that don't look like You. Take away those habits that don't look like You. Lord, we want to be conformed to You. In Jesus' name we pray.